This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon to each one of you. For me, it is a very, very joyful thing to be with so many Jesus followers here today. It's a privilege and a joy. Steady joy in a lifestyle of following. Brenda already shared a little bit of, or said where I'm from anyways. I want to give just a little background of framework for you, I guess, in so you know what I'm speaking out of. Yes, I am from Ontario, and I started out there with teaching a number of years, and I've had other various jobs in my back in between. Those 8 years were in four different pieces, so it has been kind of an in and out there. Then I did spend 9 years in Grenada with Olive Branch Missions, and there I was involved in teaching as well in the schools. And then 6 years in Thailand with Ransom Ministries, so working with women and girls in the red light district or at risk of being there. Most recently, I am back in Ontario, living in with my parents and supporting them as they age, and working in an office. So I'm speaking out of a variety of things, and so I really hope that you can find something in your spot of service that will be helpful to you as well. So steady joy in a lifestyle of following. And I want to start at the end, kind of. Does following have positive or negative connotations to you? Would you rather follow or lead? Or maybe neither, you just rather blaze your own trail and not worry about following or leading. Jesus' signature invitation is follow me. And to different of the disciples, that's how he called them. He talks about the sheep following the shepherd. He talks about taking up our cross and following him. So it's a word Jesus used a lot, following. One of my kind of maybe a life verse has been from John 12. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. Now, this is what Jesus calls us to. When he calls us to follow him, it's to walk with him in a life of serving. And Jesus goes anywhere, so he might take us anywhere too. And to me, or I should say first, to some, following might feel kind of confining. I don't know how you find it. To me, following a good leader is a relief. It's more out of my hands. And we have a good leader who invites each of us to, I believe, a personalized journey of experiences and assignments that are right for us and right for his kingdom purposes. It's a bit of a debatable topic, actually, how God's will and how that all works. But I believe that Jesus is very involved in my journey. I believe an excellent teacher or coach will know his pupil well and design a particular curriculum or a training course to fit to that's best for them and will take them to their being useful in the purposes and in their lives. So to me, I want my default to be that I ask God and I watch for and listen for how he's directing me, where he is leading me. And I do believe there are times when God doesn't really make it clear, and then he leaves it up to the wisdom he has given us to decide. But we're speaking about that. And following Jesus is a thing of following his ways, which is more maybe my inner character growth and so on. But I think it's also following his way, my role, his tasks for me. And that's particularly what we'll be looking at today. Following does imply movement. If I'm not if I'm following, I'm not just sitting. And I think in following Jesus, that might mean movement between locations, might mean movement between roles and responsibilities, and definitely, I believe, will mean movement in growth in any of those ways. So it's a lifestyle of looking to Jesus for him to lead us, and I follow where he takes me. The scripture gives some beautiful pictures of God guiding and leading his people. Probably one of the first ones we think of is the children of Israel. And God used a very physical means of leading them. They could follow the cloud. And when it came down over the tabernacle, then they set up camp. And when it picked up and moved, well, when it picked up, they packed up. And then when they followed wherever it went. That's quite a lifestyle. I try and picture myself in that. When you set up camp for the night, the cloud came down, here's where we're going to camp. How do you set up camp? Do you just get out the things you need for one night? Or do you decorate your tent? It was quite a lifestyle. And scripture says sometimes it was two nights, sometimes it was 1 month, sometimes it was 1 year. However long the cloud stayed, they stayed. When it moved, they moved. They had that. It was a true lifestyle of following. And I think that Jesus calls us to that as well. Of course, there's also Jesus calling his disciples to follow them, to follow him. And this meant being with Jesus. He said, follow me. He didn't just say, go do that. They were with him, but they served with him. And I believe he gave specific assignments to them when they set up camp or when they were ministering to a crowd. They were sometimes stayed in an area for a while, sometimes they were moving on. And I think Jesus' assignments for us, and we could say is an assignment a negative or a positive connotation also. We might look at it as negative, but I believe it's positive. When Jesus gives us assignments, it's not like he just drops us off and says, I'll be back at the end of your life to see how you did. Serving with Jesus and following him and having his assignments means traveling with him, following, fellowshipping with him. And when he moves us, we move. When he settles us, we settle. And he also, I believe, has a variety of paths for his followers. And Henry talked about this some already this morning. But it feels like for some people, they have a fairly straight trajectory. They're moving, but they're generally moving toward the same direction. Other people, Jesus seems to lead on a bit more of a zigzag. I have an assignment here. I have a need here. I'm going to put you over there. So it's not the same for everyone. And in scripture, even, you think of Jesus and Paul. They were travelers. They were on the move. We read of Dorcas. I don't believe we read of her anywhere but Joppa. But she was definitely ministering and sowing for the poor there. The man who had the legion of demons cast out of him by Jesus, he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, for you, I want you to stay here and tell your family and your community. I read an illustration some time ago that I find interesting of the different ways that people work in God's kingdom. And some people are more maybe like pillars, and they find a spot that fits, and they settle there, and they build up, and they build within God's kingdom. Other people are maybe more like bricklayers. I have a brick that I could use, and here's a spot that needs one, so I'm going to put it there. Okay, now I have another brick. Oh, that, we have a need over here, and they move around more with their bricks, and people can tend to have misunderstanding between them. The pillars can tend to think that the bricklayers are flighty, maybe, and the bricklayers can tend to think that the pillars are stodgy or stuck. The truth is that they are both building, ending up with strong structures that can be used in God's kingdom. Jesus made it clear that he does not work the same in everybody's life. Peter said to him, what about John here? Like Jesus told Peter to come along, and he said, what about John? And Jesus said to him, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And that's kind of like what John was sharing as well. So Jesus works in variety. But that lifestyle of following and watching for where he leads us and willingly going with him. Assuming that I'm on a journey then, following Jesus and serving with him, what about the joy part? Is it a joyful thing to follow Jesus in service? If we're talking about it, does that mean it's not a given? Where does the joy come in? And why steady joy? Is that a oxymoron? Steady joy. There's a hymn that I noticed in the past year or so that I really like, the one verse. For thee delightfully employ whate'er thy bounteous grace hath given. So I use what you've given me in your grace and delightfully employ it. And I run my course with even joy and closely walk with thee to heaven. By Charles Wesley. I run my course with even joy. And even joy, and I walk closely with Jesus to heaven. So I think there are different kinds or levels of joy, maybe different colors, we could say. What color is joy? I had fun thinking about that for a while. What color is joy? I think there might be different colors of joy. And so joy is an emotion. So it will rise and fall. But I think it's more than just an emotion, too. And so it can be a steady thing or an even thing, and also steadying because of that. So the description for this workshop says, a lifestyle of following Jesus in service provides space for him to grow his joy in us, a steady joy that delights in the richness and that sustains us through seasons of moving on when change is uncomfortable and staying on when adventure has dimmed. So we want to kind of look at those three aspects of steady joy in a lifestyle of following. Following Jesus in service, so joying in the richness, following Jesus in service is a rich lifestyle, and delight is required, we could say. There is so much goodness in following Jesus in service. It's not a putting our life on hold. And here I'm probably particularly talking about full-time service, which is a rather ambiguous term, or when we leave our normal zone and step into something else. It can be, we can look at it as like setting aside my life for a while because I want to serve here. I remember before I moved to Grenada, there were two sisters that had lived there 3 or 4 years, and they were leaving as I went. And I remember thinking, wow, that was just quite something. Like 3-4 years of that they kind of set their life aside and went and taught school in Grenada. I wasn't there super long, I don't think, before I realized that it's not setting your life aside or putting it on hold. It becomes your life, and it is a wonderful, rich life. It shapes your life. So what kind of richness is there? I could go on this for the whole time, but I won't. But some things, highlights I thought of is a broadening of our perspective, our worldview, just seeing more of the world than I knew, even if that's just 2 hours away, or it could be across the ocean, or just with a different group of people than we're used to being with. It broadens our perspective and our worldview. And enjoyment of cultures. I already said I love cultures. So moments of, I think of one snapshot of being out in the night, under the trees, carrying a cutlass and a bag, and walking around and pretending I really thought I was going to catch a crab like the people around me were. Moments like that, just richness and good times of, I never tried that before, going crabbing. Didn't succeed that time either. But seeing God's church in different contexts, this is a very rich, enriching thing as well. How is God's church, what does it look like in other contexts? So one example of this for me then was in Thailand, observing and eventually becoming comfortable with joining in on group prayer in the style that they did, where everybody prays out loud at once. And took a bit for me to become comfortable with participating, but it's a beautiful thing. I miss it now. I never did get to the point where that's what I would want always, but I really enjoyed it. Seeing God's church in many different ways, that's one small example. And then there's the network of relationships, especially if you go out of your normal zone. You probably have other people coming that also did. So you get such a mix of personalities and backgrounds and from different places, plus the people group that you're serving. And you come away with such a rich network of relationships. That's why we all love Reach, getting back together and seeing them. It's a rich joy that God gives us. So steady joy does not mean that there won't be any highs, or it's not a stoic joy. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to be joyful all the time at this level. But there are high moments, and we embrace those, the easy joys, I call them. When they come, it's a gift from God, and we embrace it, delighting in it. When I'm in a boat bouncing across the Caribbean Sea, on the way to another island to have Bible school, watching the flying fish, a moment of easy joy. A good rousing song service in Grenada where they raise the rafters. Sitting and listening to a Thai pastor tell about his younger years, where he walked the mountains evangelizing, climbing a tree to get away from the tigers. I read that. I don't talk to the people that did that. I think of a time when at Ransom, when some of the ladies that we had worked with and had kind of gone their ways and came back together for a picnic in the park one evening, just a time of delighting in that opportunity. Baptisms are high points of easy joy. Even teaching Sunday school and the moment when that you see it connecting out there, where there's those light bulb moments. These are, you could say, now moments when you kind of step back and see it and say, I just love what I'm doing. I love this. Following Jesus in service has a lot of those. It really does. So we ride those high joys, you could say, and we embrace them. We receive them as gifts. At the same time as we don't expect them to always be what we are experiencing, or we don't demand that that's how it always is. So looking on then at when there are seasons of moving on, so joy in moving on, when the cloud moves, it lifts up, moves on in one way or another. Following Jesus in service is a very fluid lifestyle, if we could put it that way. And flexibility is required as well. Change can be welcome or unwelcome. But either way, it has the potential to include hard. Seasons of change often aren't all that easy. We might feel like, well, I was just getting settled here. I'm starting to feel comfortable. And the cloud's going up and moving, and I wasn't ready for that. Or I didn't expect it to go that direction if it was going to move or whatever. These moments come, these seasons. Moving on can mean me moving on. Could also mean them moving on. Looking first at what about when Jesus moves me? Which would you say is most noble? To stick to an assignment for years and years, or to be willing to move on and start over with something new? I wrestled with this one in my life, particularly in times when I felt like God was moving me on. It just seemed like the noble thing, you know, so-and-so stayed somewhere for 30 years, and isn't that admirable? But I felt God moving me on, and I had to really wrestle with that, and I believe I've come to the point where I don't think one is or the other is, and that they both wanting to stay and wanting to move can both come out of discontentment and mistrust, or contentment and trust. What really counts is being the willingness to stay, the willingness to move. So staying is not necessarily the most noble, and sometimes God picks up the cloud and moves us on, and that's takes a trusting and a content heart too. Someone told me years ago, and I've never forgotten it, God has his people on the move. And again, it's going to be on a variety of how much, maybe for different people, but God has his people on the move. I don't personally know anyone who works in a company like this, but I read and hear about it. Some of these huge corporations that have branches all over the country, maybe all over the world. And the CEO looks at the branch in Germany and says, we need someone to fill this position. They have an overview of all their branches. And they can look and say, you know, over there in Miami, I know this one person that works there that has had experience in this particular part of our company, has this particular skill set. I really think they would do well over here. We need them here. And I know some other people that I could shuffle to fill that spot there. And they ask them to transfer. And you read of people that pack up and transfer and move to Europe because of work. If a CEO can do that with his workers in a large company, can God not do that with me? And it's the same idea. You're still working for the same company. The purposes, what it has to offer, the general idea is the same thing. You've got the same manager, or the CEO anyways, but in a different place, perhaps a shifted role. So if they can do that with wisdom, God in his wisdom surely can do it. So I believe there are times that God does move us on like that, and we can trust him in it. So moving on has difficult parts to it. If your assignment changes, you may have come from something you've been doing for a long time. You become the one who has the answers. When other people are trying to figure out what's going on, how do we do this? Oh, we do it this way. And then you go over here and suddenly you are completely back in greenhorn status, and it is not a comfortable place to be. That's one thing that can come when God moves us on. It's not an easy thing. Also, when you move on, most likely there's going to be some joys that you, some of those easy joys you've left behind. Even identities. I was in education for a long time, and then I felt God moving me from that, and suddenly I wasn't a teacher. It was a little strange at first. Or I think of in Thailand, I worked really hard to get the language and came to a point where I was relatively comfortable with it. And then I felt like God moved me on from Thailand. And suddenly that part of me that was a part of my identity, I can speak Thai, was useless pretty well. That was a loss of an identity, kind of a part of my identity. Then there's always them moving. So especially in places where we're out of our home areas, there's the revolving door, we call it. There are constantly new people coming, and you have to learn to know them, learn how to work with them. You've got these people you've worked with very closely for years. God moves them on. You have to let that go. It gets interesting. Ministry can change. It morphs. Maybe what you started out as, suddenly the ministry is doing something different. Or, it can be disappointing. It can be painful. There, change happens around us. It's not really us moving, but it's the things around us that are changing. So change, I think it's safe to say, always includes loss, even if it's mostly a good change. It always includes some loss. But it's safe to say it always also includes gain. So how should we move then? When God moves us on, how do we do it? And I believe we need to do it with release and with anticipation. We release what we're losing, and we look ahead with anticipation to where we're moving to. Isaiah says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. You don't forget, but be ready to move on and be ready to see the new thing that God is doing. So I think we need to find joy in the things that we gain, not to be focusing mostly on the things we've lost, but look for the joy in the things that we gain in times of moving on. Baskin-Robbins is famous for its 31 flavors. I don't know if it still is or not, but that's what I remember it as. And it's a good thing, all these different flavors. That's an advertising point. Sometimes a flavor, one of our favorite flavors in something might get discontinued, and it's disappointing. That was my favorite. I always enjoyed that. But when it's not there anymore, then I look at the menu And I choose another flavor that I haven't tried and might discover things that I've been missing all these years. God, I believe, has got this beat. God is a God of variety. He's so good at so many different things, and he's very good at offering different things through different people and different experiences. You look at your friends around you, and you realize there's certain things you get from one, or you enjoy with one person that you don't do as much with this one, but this person offers this, and your mix of friends brings a whole lot of things. So when you keep adding to that, all these different flavors, God brings them, and we gain things when we move on. One of my favorite books is Hinds Feet on High Places, the allegory of Much Afraid following the shepherd to the high places. There was a time there where she, I believe it was when she came to this precipice that she could see that she was going to have to climb. It looked impossible. She panicked. And this is what the shepherd said to her. Don't ever allow yourself to begin trying to picture what it will be like. Believe me, when you get to the places which you dread, you will find that they are as different as possible from what you have imagined. And I have experienced this. I look ahead to a change and I say, it's probably, this is going to happen, and probably it'll be like this, and probably I'm going to feel like this, and I imagine what I'm probably going to be facing. And the shepherd said, that's a waste of time. It's probably not going to be like that. And you're wasting energy on it now, when we know our shepherd will be there preparing us for it. Another time she was at the top of a valley, and the path was headed down into a valley, totally not looking like where she thought she would be going. And she really had to wrestle with it as well, and finally came to a place of acceptance, willingness to go down that path, even though it wasn't what she expected. And this is what she experienced. Considering how steep it was, the descent down into the valley seemed surprisingly easy. But perhaps that was because Much Afraid desired with her whole will to make it in a way that would satisfy and please the shepherd. And I have experienced this too. When I look at a change or at something hard and I say, I'm not looking forward to this, but I really want to walk it in a way that pleases my shepherd. It brings meaning to it, I think, and opens the way for joy in it. And she found it much easier than she was expecting when she was in that place of acceptance. So moving on, change is not easy. When we're following Jesus, a lifestyle of following, it's going to happen. There are hard parts to it, but there are always gains to be found as well. What about staying on? What about when the cloud comes down, we set up camp, and it just stays? And stays, maybe, and stays. Following Jesus in service is sometimes a long-haul lifestyle, and perseverance is required as well. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." And I'm told that D.L. Moody, in the margin of his Bible, had written by this verse, "And the stops also." And I really like that. The Lord orders our steps, lays them out before us, but he also orders our stops. There are times when he stops us, and he says, "Here, I want you to settle." No matter how much we love what we start out to do, the adventure will dim. It won't stay fun all the time in serving. It might be the mundane. It might also be difficult. Like actually hard. Sometimes it's not really hard, it's just mundane. It's just the norm. It's what I've been doing for a long time. I said how God moved me from teaching and took me to women's ministry. I felt like God actually turned my heart away from teaching before he moved me from it. So there was a year or two where I did not feel like God was saying, "Nope, don't teach this year." But my heart wasn't in it like it was before. What do you do in seasons like that? A snapshot that I think of in Thailand, we had begun attending a Bible study in a small pretty primitive village. And this is what I wrote in the Ransom newsletter shortly after that. I had been there the first time. Bouncing back a dirt road, ducking under a veranda roof, sitting on the floor with my back against a block wall, sharing a songbook with a little grandma, and singing along as best I could with Lahu Christmas carols. This had to be one of my favorite evenings of the past while. I loved it. It was so invigorating. We began going regularly every Wednesday night. The months passed by, and I could have written, there are many nights I could have written in my newsletter, except you don't put things like that in newsletters. Pushing myself to hop on my bike on a rainy night, slopping and swerving down that dirt road, sitting cross-legged on the concrete floor till my feet went numb, brushing away the persistent cat, and listening to a teacher go round and round on a Leviticus topic that was way over the heads of the listeners, coming home to scrub all the mud off my bike and my shoes and my feet before I could go to bed. It's another evening at Bible study. And I was doing exactly the same thing. But there were nights I had to push myself to go. It simply became the routine. I was missing the delightful parts of it and noticing the hard parts. This will happen. From Much Afraid, again, there was a time after she had gone up the precipice, she had been through a storm, she found herself in the mountains, in the fog, in the forest, in the fog as well. And this is what she said. She began to realize that, cowardly though she was, there was something in her which responded with a surge of excitement to the tests and difficulties of the way better than to easier and duller circumstances. It was true that fear sent a dreadful shuddering thrill through her, but nevertheless it was a thrill. And she found herself realizing with astonishment that even the dizzy precipice had been more to her liking than this dreary plodding on and on through the bewildering mist. In some way, the dangers of the storm had stimulated her. Now there was nothing but tameness, just a trudge forward day after day, able to see nothing except for white, clinging mist, which hung about the mountains without a gleam of sunshine breaking through. You found yourself in those situations? It's just the trudge. And we don't like difficult things, but sometimes they almost are more stimulating, and the trudge gets old. I believe God often, probably usually, places us in assignments where we are a really good fit and our particular giftings and interests are able to be used. Even there, adventure will dim. It won't stay all exciting all the time. But also, when he places us somewhere where it's not maybe so much our natural fit or it's difficult, I just want to give a caution here. We hear a lot about finding what makes me come alive and sharing my passion and so on, and it's so very true. But I think there is caution also to take in that we don't assume that if this isn't fun anymore, or my gifts aren't being used as I thought they would be, that means the cloud is moving. I really think there are times Jesus has the right to do this. He sees a need here, and he says, I know that she could fill that, and that's what I'm going to give her for this assignment, for this season. So how should we stay? I think we need to stay with steadiness and perseverance. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is God's word to us. There are times when you just have to keep on doing what's in front of you and learning to find joy in that. So how can we let the adventure settle back into richness instead of into drudgery? I think we need to learn to know joy when we have to dig deeper to find it sometimes, whether it's because of the mundane or because our spot is difficult. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. God has treasures in the dark places and hidden riches in the secret places that we need to look for. So I think we need to find, we need to learn to see with reality is one way to keep joy. When I look back and say, back there, remember all those easy joys I had? And if only I was up there, I'm sure there'd be this, this, and this. Reality is, when I do a reality check, I look back, and when I really look at it, I'm like, yeah, I remember this, this, and this, too. That was hard there, too. And up there, I know probably I would miss this, and this would be hard. Look with reality. Also finding joy in the things that we keep, the things that just stay right. Even when it seems like everything around us might be heavy or dark or not the way we wish it would be, find joy in the things that we keep, the things that stay right. Obviously, Jesus is the first one, and I have found times when I am most in the mundane or the difficult is what drives me to Jesus a lot. I'm like, I need Jesus right now. I just need Jesus, just plain, simple Jesus. And finding that connection with him. Joy is a fruit of Jesus' spirit, right? So if I want joy to be birthed in me and to be growing, I need to be with Jesus. And so I think that can be daily, obviously, but also in times of the mundane when it's like, I don't know if what I'm doing is doing any good anyways or whatever. Taking some concentrated time with Jesus is very renewing. It's like a reset, and we get his perspective again. And it's very valuable. Scripture, of course, is very closely tied to this. Scripture is always right. There's never a bad day that the scripture just isn't good today. It's always right, and we can get joy from that. Music is something that God uses for me a lot. Singing, hymns, listening to songs of praise, it's renewing, it brings joy. Nature, I might be having a horrible day, but that bird sure is a joyful thing. And finding the joy in those things that are around us. Looking for and expecting the rich experiences, too, that are in difficult times. When I think of after Hurricane Ivan in Grenada, and our house was a wreck, and we ate bread and eggs for days, and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned, and helped our neighbors, and it was an exhausting season. But I look back on it, it was one of my favorite seasons in Grenada. It really was. And I think part of it was the community spirit that I experienced more than any other time, probably. We were in exactly the same boat as all our neighbors, and we were all working together. It was a rich experience that came in a difficult time, so that there's joy in looking for those as well. And I think for me, a big part of keeping joy in times when the cloud is parked, also when God moves us on and we're not, it's uncomfortable or whatever, but especially here I'm talking about when the cloud is parked, is that simple belief that Jesus is leading me. And if he has the cloud here, then that's exactly where he wants me to be. If it's not moving, then I'm where he wants me to be. And I'm doing what he wants me to do. I'm following him in settledness. And I think this, again, brings meaning and opens space for joy to grow. Dorcas Smucker wrote a post about caring for her husband after his injuries and just the long-haul dreariness of the heart that there was there. And she said this, "But what if I embrace this as God's current assignment for me instead of wanting it to be over with quickly? Because it is no small gift to have clear direction about God's calling for me today." And that really resonated with me. It's true. We're always like, I wonder if I'm following God. I wonder if this is what I'm supposed to do. I wonder this. When there's something that God places in front of us, there is a need. I need you to fill it. It's no small gift to have that clarity of what I am to do. And we can embrace it as his assignment. It brings meaning to it. Lee McDowell says, "It helps to accept the unalterable fact that no matter how uncomfortable your circumstances are, they are the only ones you have in which to glorify God today." And when I'm looking for that, instead of saying, but if I had this or if I had that, the fact is you don't. This is what I have right now, whether it's in time of change, whether it's in time of staying settled. This is what I have to glorify God today. Therefore, again, it brings meaning, and I can find joy in looking for ways to glorify God. And one of my favorite Elizabeth Elliot quotes, "This job has been given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Therefore, it is a privilege. Therefore, it is an offering I may make to God. Therefore, it is to be done gladly if it is done for him. Here, not somewhere else, I may learn God's way. In this job, not in some other, God looks for faithfulness." And there is joy to be found in that. And then we have this one, looking unto Jesus, who we're following, so we should be watching, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are following Jesus. He went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. And where did he end up? Sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. This joy was before him. And if we are following Jesus, we're going to end up where he ends up, right? That's just logic. And there it is at the right hand of God. If this joy doesn't give us strength and motivate us, I don't know what will. And I believe that God has a lot of joy available for us here and now. He gives us richness and he gives us joy to sustain us in hard times. But always out front, there is this joy. If I keep following Jesus, I'm going to end up where he ended up, the joy that was set before him. And I love how this verse kind of wraps it all together. Thou wilt show me the path of life. If I follow Jesus, he will show me. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When I'm following Jesus, I'm with him, which means I'm in his presence, which means I'm in the place where fullness of joy is to be found, is to be known. Jesus will show me. If I live a lifestyle of following him, his assignments for me, his leading on my path, he promises fullness of joy here in his presence and in heaven, ultimately in his presence where everything will be right. We don't have to sort through what's wrong and what's right. It will all be right. I can't imagine that, but that is a joy that we can keep set before us. I just want to testify to the fact that following Jesus in service, there's just a lot of joy to be had in that, however that looks for each one of us. I was told to give you time for any questions if you have any. For me to be refreshed and reminded of all the joy that Jesus has available for us. Okay, thank you. I'll turn it back to you, Maria.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.